evening. It's week six of our practice period and spirituality and creativity. The core of this talk tonight is really showing up for yourself, showing up for the world. I wanted to summarize the places we've gone in the first 6 weeks of this practice period together. We started out with practice of allowing our mind to be still so that we could start to pay attention to the kind of self-talk that goes on all the time within us. If we don't come back to this moment, to being with ourselves, to showing up for ourselves in this moment, we really don't know what's going on inside. We aren't necessarily in touch with the planning or the self-critical voice, or when we're getting defensive inside over some story that's spinning around, or our striving or perfectionism. With our practice and with creativity, it's really important to come back to ourselves, to let go of all the usual chatter, the usual habitual mind self-talk that's going on, so that we can listen to a deeper voice within ourselves, a quiet voice that is more intuitive, a voice that is moved by beauty and goodness and is an expression of our deepest intention. When we are able to get still within ourselves and concentrated, that voice begins to speak. We know when we're doing walking meditation outside, and if we're not busy thinking about where we're going or what we should be doing, or if we've done a good enough job with what we just finished, then we're able to be just right there with each footstep, then the beauty of the world is right there with us. This afternoon I drove up a road from Lake Washington Boulevard south that came up to McClellan. Goes through kind of a park, I think called Mount Baker Park, and there are these trees that form an alley that you drive through, and they're golden right now. The gray sky and the green grass and the wetness, and driving through this, oh dear, this golden arch. It was so beautiful. And I was so touched by the beauty. So when we begin to be able to still our mind a bit, then we can touch into the world as it's presenting itself to us. But we have to show up for ourselves. And one of the practices that we've taken on during this practice period is that when we find that we're caught in our thinking and our habitual patterns that go round and round, is that to come back to our body as a way of really grounding ourselves in what's right here in front of us, what's right here inside of us. And because we do tend to get caught in habitual ways of thinking, Tai calls it habit energies, it's very helpful to have rituals to support us in a daily discipline. In some ways, we're establishing habits, rhythms, doing things over and over again as a discipline. And the discipline is for us to be free, find free expression. And that we don't find freedom without that level of discipline, without the practice of coming back to this moment over and over again. We don't find out how truly big we are, how truly much we encompass. The irony is having rituals to bring us back to the present moment, to bring us to our cushion, to bring us to our creative expression, our creative medium. We find in the habits a way of being free. And there's a paradox there. If we don't practice coming back and sitting on our cushion. If we don't have a way of bringing ourselves back over and over again, whether it's through counting our breath, through full awareness of body, through listening to the sounds, without that, our practice is not alive in the moment, it's not fresh. We aren't showing up for ourselves. It is that discipline of coming back that allows for us to touch that deeper intuitive intention, that beauty and goodness that lives within us. And this is also the voice that we listen to in our creative process. We touch it in meditation. But it's also necessary for that same level of stillness in our creative process. I have been looking at different words for God lately. One text I read said that they thought the word God came from Gautama. That there's a connection between India and the Middle East. And that the word God came out of the name for Buddha. And the word God has two roots. One means to pour ourselves. And the other is to call or to invoke. One of the important parts of our practice is that practice of calling or invoking. It is the statement of our intention and practice. We call it bodhicitta. And it's the wish for all beings. The wish that what we do is for the benefit of all beings. That how we live our lives is to transform suffering for all beings. We speak it in the discourse on love. In this way, may all beings be happy and safe. May they be well. And may all beings be free, including this being right here, right now, in this moment. And it's important to have that kind of intention not only in our spiritual practice, but also in our creative practice. The other basis for the word God is to pour. And certainly that is to keep showing up for ourselves, to pour ourselves into this moment. To let go completely. To pour ourselves into our meditation. It's like entering the flow. And when we do that, when we totally let go of all our ideas of self and other, then our creativity will be an expression of our wholeness, our integrity, the wholeness of body and mind. And we give ourselves to that place. And when we really do give ourselves to the wholeness of our body and mind, we find that the whole universe is there. I say that in a global way, but the way the universe presents itself to us is in this moment, the smile of our friends, in this moment, the energy in the room, in this moment, walking through wet leaves, the sound of the airplane overhead. There's an old Chinese story about and a student named Chi Chu. He went into the mountains and sat in a little hut in a hermitage all by himself deep in the mountains because he was going to get free. He didn't want any distractions or any disturbances to get in his way. He was going to give his whole life to liberating himself. He had been in his hermitage for a number of years. And one day, a nun, Jisai, they called her, which means true world, came and knocked on his hermitage. She came in and she walked around Chi Chu, who was sitting. Three times she walked around him, which is a traditional practice to pay respect. In 2005, I went to Vietnam with Thay. I arrived late one night and woke up, of course, very jet lagged the next morning, and there was a little van that was taking us somewhere, and I had no idea where we were going or what we were going to be doing. But I just got into the van and off we went. When I first received the five mindfulness trainings, which were called the five precepts, and got my Dharma name from Thay, he showed me the book that the Dharma names came from, and it was all written in Vietnamese. It was the writings of Liu Quan, who is the person who wrote the poem that our Dharma names come from. I just felt this really deep connection for some reason, and I asked him if I could borrow the book. Of course, I could not read a word of it, but but I took it and I just carried it around next to my heart all day, and then I sort of reluctantly in the evening gave it back to him. I didn't know what that was about. So the van goes out into the countryside outside of Hue, and we get out of the van, and there's a stupa there, and there's a little plaque on the stupa. It's the stupa of Liu Quan. Yeah, I'm just going, oh! I was so happy. It was like some sense of just deep fulfillment. And so I walked in, I was standing by the stupa, just feeling so happy. The bus arrived with the monastics in Thay, and Thay, doing walking meditation, walked up to the stupa, and without looking at anyone, so often when Thay sees me, he greets me in some way, acknowledges me, but he just walked straight up to the stupa and just walked around three times. And this is what the nun True World did with Chichu. She walked around him three times, and then she looked him right in the eye and said, "Can you say one appropriate word to me?" Chichu was totally startled and didn't have a word to say. And she started to leave, and then she turned around and said, "I'll give you another chance. Can you say one appropriate word to me?" And she juiced it up and was sort of tongue-tied and didn't know what to say again. She left the hermitage, and Chichu ran out after her and said, "Oh, it's getting dark now. Please come and stay with me so you'll be safe." And she said, "Well, if you can say one appropriate word to me, I will." And he didn't know what to say. And so she scoffed and walked off. And Chichu was just devastated. It's like, here, True World had come to him, and he hadn't known how to respond. He had no way to respond. The True World being right there. But he'd been practicing a lot. And so in his deep disappointment with not being able to come forth, not being able to show himself, not being able to respond in the life of the world. And with that heavy heart, he went to sleep. But at night, he had this wonderful dream. And in it, True World came to him again. He was about ready just to leave his hermitage. He said, "You know, I've totally failed in my practice. What am I going to do?" But in the dream, True World came to him again and said, "Stay where you are, because a true teacher will come to you soon." And so he stayed in his hermitage, and then about 10 days later, a Zen master came walking by, and he prostrated before him and said, "Please be my teacher." Chichu studied and had great success with him. When John Lennon first met Yoko Ono at a gallery opening of her artwork in London, He just happened to be walking by and for no particular reason went into the gallery and saw some of the work on the wall and was interested and saw clear at the other end of the gallery there was a ladder and at the top of the ladder there was a telescope. He was drawn to that and he just made a beeline to that ladder and began climbing it. Kind of skeptical, like, what am I going to find here? When he got up, he looked through the telescope, but it was a telescope in reverse, so that you look through the big end, and what you saw at the other end was very, very tiny. And when he looked through the telescope, he saw this tiny word, yes. I want to meet this artist. This was Yoko's one appropriate word to the true world. When we recite the mindfulness trainings, Tai asks us always, when we are asked, have we studied, practiced, and observed the mindfulness read? And we say, yes, I have. It's not our first response, necessarily. Our first response is to think, well, let's see, probably shouldn't have done that. I wish I hadn't said that. That's our first response. But very much our practice then is to not fall into that habitual way of thinking that I'm not good enough, I didn't do enough. This separates us from our true life. Say, yes, I have. And then pay attention to what arises within us. And almost always what arises is, oh, yeah, there was that kind thing I did. All these decisions that we make that are motivated by our intention, but even more truly motivated by our true self. And when we touch that, we begin to enter the flow. If we are working on a creative project and we forget all about good or bad and something just flows out of us, artists call it being in the groove, we find we can trust ourselves. And we find that in our practice too, that when we keep just showing up, that we begin to be able to trust ourselves. That we don't have to think about whether we're doing things right or wrong. That deep, quiet voice that is moved by our intuition, by our goodness, and by our bodhicitta expresses itself without any effort at all. The mystical tradition in the Muslim religion is found in the Sufi dancers. When the Sufis are dancing, every once in a while, one of them will transcend themselves. They will be dancing in a way that is an expression of them, the transcendent mystical state. People in the room feel that energy and see it. They begin chanting Allah, Allah, Allah. They chant the word, the name of God, Allah, Allah. And then all the participants touch that and are touched by that. When the Muslims began conquering across northern Europe and then went into southern Spain, that tradition went with them. And in Spain, it got translated to Olé. When something greater than ourselves begins to express itself through us, when we rise up beyond ourselves. sometimes when there are flamenco dancers and they are clearly transported beyond themselves into that expression of wonder and beauty, the audience sees that and shouts, "Olé, olé." And same with bullfights too. They know that that particular gift is something that is unknown to the dancer. And it's just like our lives and our particular gifts. They are just unknown to us. The most remarkable and blessed aspects of our lives don't come just from ourselves, but they arise from some source that we cannot grasp with our intellectual mind. They arise from some unknowable source. We might call it God or Allah. In the most recent edition of the Mindfulness Bell, which I just got in the mail, there is a story that Tai wrote in it that I'd like to read to you. This particular edition is the second of the editions that are celebrating the 30th anniversary of Plum Village. And Tai writes, "During the summer opening in the first years, I stayed in the room above the bookshop in Upper Hamlet. We had very few rooms then, and I had to share the room with four or five children. They stayed in the room with me, and at night they sprawled out on the floor. I thought that children needed to sing. The chanting alone was not enough. I intended to write the song, I Take Refuge in the Buddha, for the children. One afternoon we did sitting meditation in the bamboo hall. The walls there are made of stone, and facing a big block of stone, the tune for the song came to me. I take refuge in the Buddha, the one who shows me the way in this life, Namo Buddhaya. And I thought to myself, I am here to do sitting meditation and not to make up songs. Let's continue it after sitting meditation. However, after a few minutes, the music returned to me. And I thought, if it's going to be like this, I might as well compose the song now. So I continued writing that song, and after the meditation, I recorded it in order not to forget it." Show up for ourselves and to show up for whatever it is that is arising for us, joy or sorrow. Our practice, both spiritually and creatively, is to welcome it, to let it be transformed into our own unique expression, and to offer it, to give it up as a gift. The dance, the song. It's the life, the work that our life presents us with. And we can only be with it by coming back, by showing up. So whatever life gives you as your creative work, and we all have something. It might be raising a child, or cooking a meal. It might be solving a problem. It might be getting your bachelor's degree or studying Chinese medicine. But whatever your life gives you, give yourself to that work. Say yes and pour yourself into it. Don't neglect to show up. And I want to quote here our author, Elizabeth Gilbert. if the divine cockeyed genius assigned to your case decides to let some kind of wonderment be glimpsed, even for one moment, through your efforts, then ole. And if not, do your dance anyway. Do your practice anyway. And ole to you nonetheless, just for having the sheer human love and stubbornness to keep showing up. It seems like a big task to keep showing up when the world seems filled with sham, drudgery, boredom, sadness. And yet it is the expression of the true world that we find within us, the beauty that we find by coming back to keep showing up for the world, not out of sense of fear, not even out of a sense of striving, but to keep showing up out of the love of our hearts, to keep showing up with yes, welcoming it all, because there's nothing else we can do. And that is being a true artist. That is allowing your creative genius to find its true expression.